I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. Well, today, I'm back in the neighborhood. You know, we haven't heard from our neighborhood buddies in quite a while. They've been busy doing other things. But today, I wanted to see if we could all get together and talk about some of the things that are going on in the world. So today, we have with us Jim the Contrarian Giordano. Jim, how are you?
Good, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Good to have you back on. Your voice was missed. We have our man of faith, Bill Dallas. Bill, how are you?
So far, Joe, I'm doing good.
That's excellent. Well, Jack Patterson, rock and roll race car Jack Patterson, as we affectionately call him here. Jack, he had to go to a doctor's appointment, so we're hoping he's okay. I'm sure he probably is. All right, so there's a lot going on in the world, fellas. We've been talking about a lot of things the last couple weeks. I was on Viewpoint with Malcolm Out Loud this past Sunday, and a couple of topics that I really like came up, and I wanted to talk about them, so we're going to get into that as we go along. I know the Barr investigation, something that I'm concerned about, and I've voiced my concern about what's going on. But I want to kind of talk about that for a couple of minutes to get started here. You know, what I've said all along is I was afraid that he's going to come up with a great investigation. They're going to get all this information, and then they're going to say, yep, this one did this, this one did that, this guy's guilty of this, but we're not going to prosecute. Which we just saw with Hillary Clinton's emails. They just came out with State Department said there are 588 violations of law, but they can only find 47 people who did it, and they're not going to prosecute anyone. Now, why would you not prosecute anyone? We saw James Comey. We know he did some things inappropriately, and they came out and said, we're not going to prosecute him. So my concern is that as we go down the road here, the big slice of justice that we're all looking for is that some of these people get frog marched out of their office in handcuffs for what they did to our country, this coup d'etat that they attempted, is not actually going to happen. We're going to get some watered down version of the report that, yes, while we can say that Bill did this and Jim did that, it's really not enough to go to a grand jury, but we've all learned our lesson, and in the future we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. So that has partially led my concern, and I talked about Lindsey Graham, and so, you know, he's been like a good stand-up kind of guy, but not all the time. I'm worried about him. What's he looking at 4 years from now? Is he going to go for a run for president? He comes out the other day and says, well, as far as impeachment, you know, I guess if there was enough information that showed Trump did something, I guess I could consider impeachment. You know, he would have to be removed. So these people are all getting weak. They're all getting, no backbone. And I'm afraid that that's exactly how this is going to come out. Jim, you've been paying attention to this?
Yes, I have.
What's your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%, Joe. It's going to be a watered down verdict. These people are not going to get, the American people are not going to get justice. And it's not that I want to see anybody hurt. But you want to know something? It was a coup d'etat. They're destroying this country. And as an American citizen, I find it offensive that some people in the elite status get away with bribery, corruption, and maybe even potentially murder when the average run-of-the-mill citizen gets thrown in jail for throwing a paper bag on the street.
Right.
So I think it's ridiculous and it's offensive.
It is. Billy, your thoughts?
All I can say is that I agree with Jim. He's always been a man of the proper word, you know. I just feel so let down by our government in so many areas, and this is just one area that has been ignored over and over again. The people in the right places in the power places, they get away with everything. And that trickles down right down to us, the little guys. If we know the right person, we can usually get out of jail free, you know. And it just comes down to where you are, who you are, and who you know.
And I think part of that, the bigger picture, you know, it's like dropping a rock in a pond and you see all the ripples come out. The ripple that comes out of that is that we all see this corruption. We see the coup d'etat. It's right in front of us. Enough of it's been brought out already that we know kind of what happened. The specifics are what the report's going to give us. But unless there is that justice, that slice of justice we all are demanding, Bill, is how do we go forward and how do we trust our government? Because the next group of people that gets in, we know they're going to take advantage. We see what's happening, you know, whether you like Trump or not, what he's doing out there is he is going after the swamp and they are getting more and more upset because he's going after both sides. When it comes to the money, you know, going after Biden's kid, he's talking about the money. You don't think every one of them have people that have family jobs and who's getting a $1 million contract, who's building a $1 billion bridge? They all have their hands in the pie. And he's calling that out, and that's causing a problem. So if we don't see any kind of a justice here out of this investigation, then where do we go from here? How do you believe it's going to get better?
Joe, it's pervasive. It's in the military. You know the old joke about the $20,000 hammer. Mm-hmm. All that, or most of that, is just pure corruption. The America I grew up with corruption existed forever. But it's gotten so significantly worse, at least that's what I see, that I don't believe in this country anymore that I used to believe in. You know, I mean, you brought up a point on your show with Malcolm about would you die for this country? And I asked myself the question. I'd die for the Constitution. I'd send my kids to war if I had to protect what this country was and used to be. I don't think it's the same country anymore. So I question whether I would do that.
That's a great point, and I wanted to touch on that because on the Viewpoint show with Malcolm, if you haven't heard it, you know, go back into the podcast and look up the Viewpoint for this past Sunday. It was a great show. I really enjoyed the conversation. But one of the things we did talk about is, you know, what holds so much value for us with this country? Like, are we going to lose our traditions? Are we losing everything that America was? And that came up, and we were talking about my son Jack, who wants to go to the Marines. And he's a young man, he's 16, and he wants to be a Marine. He wants to go and do the right thing for his country. And the question was raised on the Viewpoint show was, you know, what if he was told to go off to a battlefield and he would die? Now, as a parent, how are you okay sending your kid off to go die in a battlefield? Well, the reality is, over the course of our country's history, there have been things that were worth fighting for and dying for, it, just as you were saying, Jim, fighting for the Constitution, for the birth of the Constitution. How many people died over that? Then we saw, you know, there was a need in World War I for us to get involved because that was going to expand and draw us in. World War II, I don't think anybody questions World War II. How many hundreds of thousands of young men gave their lives at the prime of their lives, 17, 18, 19 years old, and we see them as heroes having done their duty for America. And we say, what a debt we owe to them. But as I look down the road and my son Jack wants to be a Marine, that kind of makes me think, what would it be worth for me to let my son go off and die there? I mean, for the old America, yeah. But the new America that's coming? I don't know. AOC's America? Is that...
Definitely not.
Is that something somebody's going to send their children for? I don't know. Bill, this is where we need to... You know, one of the questions I said is where do we bring our morals into this? What's happening to us as a country?
You know, the cliche is we can pray, get down on our knees and pray to the Lord that he helps us to resolve this situation. But in reality, we need to do more than that. We need to be able to vote. If you don't vote, you've got no say-so. And it's just amazing to me how many people gripe about this and gripe about that, and yet they don't vote. Well, my one vote isn't going to make any difference. Well, yeah, it does, because if everybody thought that way, then certainly we're going to lose the politicians that we really want to put in there. So what's the answer? I've got no idea, because there's just too many people with the wherewithal with the money, the connections, and the right situations that are in place.
So, and how do we? The rules don't apply to them.
The rules haven't applied to them for years. Look at Hillary Clinton. All the emails that she destroyed, and the server that she was on, and all the stuff that she's been doing. I mean, come on. Nobody is going to prosecute her. I don't care who they are or what threats they make. She's never going to see 1 hour in jail.
And it could it possibly be that because she was so involved in that party, she knows where all the skeletons are. So if they come after her, she's going to start.
And if she doesn't, something. Her husband Bill does.
On the both sides of the aisle, Joe. This is not a Democratic problem.
Right. No, I agree. It's
both sides of the aisle. But I think Bill hit the nail on the head. What is lacking? In my America, people grew up with values. Values rooted in religious teaching. You know, the Ten Commandments. Honor. Integrity. You don't lie. You don't cheat. And although many of us at times maybe cheated on a test or something, it always stuck in you that you were doing something wrong. I don't think it exists anymore. People cheat, but they can get away with it, whether it's on their taxes. They cheat.
If they could cheat their neighbor out of something, they're doing it. And that's what I'm saying. Where have we gotten to? When we're watching this impeachment thing, and I think all of this wraps together like this, we see this impeachment thing. We can all see that it's crystal clear it's a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud, but they're allowed to go through with it because it gives them a political edge. Even the people on the other side that know it's a fraud, to them, hey, it's good enough. As long as it advances my point, I'll go with it. What I don't think they see is the damage that's causing to us overall by pretending that this thing they're doing is real, because they've been saying this since before this guy was elected. They're going to impeach him, going to impeach him, going to impeach him. We're going to keep digging and finding something till we find something to impeach him for. Phone call? We'll impeach him over the phone call. Now, they didn't expect him to bring the transcript out, so they could have said anything they wanted about that phone call and pounded the drums and made it into something horrible, but he brought out the transcript. What's next? I believe they have a bunch of things lined up. Rick, the next one's going to come up. Next one is going to be the Stormy Daniels. I think Bill Clinton paid somebody $800,000 to go away, didn't he? But they're going to come out with this $130,000 he paid to this porn star.
I mean, how many women did Bill Clinton was around him, whether it was rape, whether it was, you know, fondling, and nothing ever happened to him. Nothing ever happened to him.
Right. So you know? Now they're going to go after Trump because of any little allegation. And we can look back and be frustrated by what happened there. But going forward, this is just another lie. This is a lie. And what are you going to send your kids in the future to go fight for? Are they going to go fight for AOC when she's the president and
Bingo.
She wants to do it?
And go fight for cheaters and
what
liars?
Are we
gonna
do?
Bingo, Joe, and that's my problem, because the America that we once knew does not exist anymore.
Whose fault is that? That America doesn't exist anymore. Is that our fault? Bill, you're saying go out and vote. Now, we go out and vote. We vote like here in New Jersey, we vote and vote and vote, and we get the same liberal retread politicians over and over and over again because we're outnumbered. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, you see now the drumbeat is on because the liberals nationwide couldn't overcome that, the Electoral College last time. Enough people had had enough of the left and Barack Obama and his policies that they gave us Trump. And now they're all beating the drum. We got to get rid of the Electoral College, which means New York and Los Angeles are going to decide what happens to the whole country. And the more they beat that drum, isn't that just another lie to do away with everybody else's vote? So you can vote and vote and vote, but they're going to play the system against us. And they got judges in place that don't, you think of a judge. A judge is going to do the right thing. This is our hope, right? You have a judge who's going to sit in judgment of you and decide, do you pay a fine? Do you go to jail? Do you get to have your company? Do you get sued? And you hope that they're doing the right thing for the right reason. And then you see them do completely political things because that's what they believe politically. The hell with the law, the hell with precedent, the hell with anything that means anything. This is what we need to do. So we're going to just make a ruling that way.
You know,
that's another lie.
The more lies are repeated over and over and over again, eventually the common person is going to believe them because they hear it over and over. It's like we get brainwashed into thinking the way that they want us to think.
Look at the
and
Russia.
That's
collusion.
Why we're gonna. That's why we're like you said, Jim. We're gonna lose our country to some foreign government that is going to just sneak in and become a part of. Look at how many politicians we have now in government that are from other countries. Many of them. I mean, and they're taking advantage of their situations, and they're causing all this hate and discontent, and this whole thing with the Antifa and these people. Why can't the government do something about them? They can't. Why?
Well, it's interesting because in the states where they're attacked, like Oregon, right? You got Oregon, you got Washington State. The governments there have decided to step back because they believe in the message that those people are giving, that they're letting them run wild in the streets, that they've pulled the police back because, God forbid, you know, the killer, murderous police get out there and enforce the law. They won't let them do that. So instead, they let these people run wild, which is forwarding another message that they believe this change has to come to America. Very, very scary stuff.
Disturbing.
This is why the same tactic is being used globally. When our country gets involved in a war here, a war there, a war, another war there, we get involved in so many places, we get weaker and weaker. The more places we have to send our troops to, the more places we have to send our money to, and our electronics and technology. And the more we do that, the less that we have to protect our country.
You know? So I think, Bill, you bring up a good point because, you know, I have to keep going back to the central theme here is that what is it worth? I mean, we talked about young people fighting for their country and dying on a battlefield. What's the reason to do that anymore?
Well, let me interject this. I think the people in Hong Kong know more about the value system of the old America than we in America. Just look at LeBron James' statement just recently, which is so politically based. These people are fighting for freedom. We don't even know anymore what we have with the Constitution.
Well, they're over there waving the American flag.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't see people here doing that.
There was a time when that would have been a rallying call for our country to help.
They're waving socialist and communist flags.
Right.
That there was a, on a school, there was a cemetery for socialism. It was a display. It was taken down in 15 minutes and basically was tombstones with, under this person, Mao Zedong, 100 million died. Under Joseph Stalin, you know, 80 million died. And they took that down? That is something that needs to be taught to our children.
Right. Well, we don't teach that anymore. We don't teach them. I heard somebody saying the other day that, you know, these kids who believe in this socialism, we've talked about that, they think socialism is more fair. It's a better way to go. They haven't told them about the graves of the millions of people who suffered under such a thing. So there we go, round one. I think we're all over the world on this particular one. So when we come back to round two, we're going to follow up with this, and we have a lot of more topics here in the neighborhood. This is what you do in the neighborhood. You sit around, talk with the fellas, all right? I'm Lieutenant Joe. We'll be back in a minute.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Round 2, Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. All right, so here we are in the neighborhood with Jim the Contrarian Giordano. Although you haven't been too contrarian today. You've been kind of agreeing with me a little bit. I kind of like that. And Bill, our man of faith over here. So we're going to jump into Bill's man of faith stuff in a couple minutes. But a couple things from Round 1 we didn't get to that I just wanted to clear up on was, first of all, the Barr investigation. I said I'm very concerned about where it's going to go, whether we're going to get any justice. But recently, they said they've expanded it. The investigation suddenly has hit on some really important things that they're finding, and they're expanding it. So they're probably going to take longer to get us the report. What do you think about the strategy, Bill, that they're really taking their time because they want to position the results of the investigation right into the election, like after January when it really kicks in, that's when they want this stuff to come out? Or do you think, or are you afraid, like me, it's just going to be, we keep waiting, we wait, and we kind of lose our interest and it won't matter anyway?
That's the whole thing, Joe. The longer they stretch things out, the more disinterested we get, and the more watered down all the evidence and the everything gets. And I don't understand why we can't just go right at it.
I agree.
Let's get it done.
Because then it becomes political. Then people on the other side can say, this is a political strategy, and the Attorney General should not be a political entity.
Right.
If there's guilt, you know, right now, it should have nothing to do with when the next election mm-hmm. is going to be. So I'm hoping what you said, Joe, is wrong, because that's not the way.
Right. No, I agree. Plays. You shouldn't do it that way. But I don't know that the White House is not figuring, hey, we're hold off on. That's why they're arguing about classification, trying to slow it down. But the reality is, I've done a lot of investigations, and I know when you have a really big investigation, like you do an economic crime or white collar crime, that can be gigantic. Lots of players, lots of information, a lot of things to look at. And as you investigate, you find more and more. You find that it's deeper. It's like peeling an onion. There's more layers. And it takes a long time to complete. Historically, FBI investigations and DOJ investigations take forever, several years, which I don't think they need to. What I'm saying is, if you got somebody right now that you know this person did A, B, C, and D, go to the grand jury, get them indicted, because then what do? Then they start talking.
Exactly.
Then you got somebody else, you go get him. Go get James Comey. Why would you say he committed crimes, but we're not going to prosecute those? Lock him up. Let everybody see that something's happening, and then see if he talks. See if he starts giving up somebody and bring this out. Let's get it moving.
Do you believe that the DOJ and the FBI are not part of the deep state?
No, of course they are.
That's my concern.
Why don't think they're going to do it?
Too many elements within both those organizations that are corrupt. And I lost my faith in both the American judicial system and the FBI. I mean, they were the people that you knew. Remember the old 60s show, the FBI?
Sure.
You knew the FBI,
the premier
came
law enforcement
agency. You could count
agency.
On them to be at least moral. You know, looking for what's right and wrong according to the law. Do you think that's happening now?
No. And I want to clarify to my brother and sister FBI agents, special agents out there, it's not the people in the field. It's the leadership. Like Christopher Wray. Why is he fighting everything? Why doesn't he go in there and clean it out and go, listen, I'm going to clean up the FBI. Here was all these problems. I'm bringing it all out in the open. We're going to clean it up to make it the premier law enforcement agency again. He's a deep state plant, this guy. I hate saying it. That sounds like a conspiracy, but why is he not leading the charge to fix the agency he's in charge of? That's what he should be doing. And if he's not, the president should fire him. When there's no other investigation about Trump going on, say, you know what? Thank you, Mr. Wray. Your services are no longer needed. Boom. And put Trey Gowdy in there. Trey, you're in charge of the FBI.
Exactly.
And figure out what went wrong and straighten it out. Hey, put Joe Pangaro in there. I'll straighten this crap out. I'll get in there and tear it apart. All right. Speaking of that. Now, Bill, you're a very nice person. You're the man of faith. You say nice things about people.
I hope so.
Is Hillary Clinton crazy? Is she seeing Russians under every rock? Has she lost her mind? Have you heard her recently, her commentary, that everyone's a Russian agent?
It certainly sounds that way. And I don't know if she's going to use the insanity defense for when she finally does get indicted. But it sounds like she's going in that direction, because she is really wacko lately. But you know what? She's going off in another direction, trying to misdirect us and forget about all her emails and all this other stuff. Let's go here. Russians. Let's look at all the Russian stuff. Forget my emails.
Right. Well, she's going after this Tulsi Gabbard, who's seems to be an intelligent young woman on the Democrat side. I've seen her in a couple of the debates. She presents herself very well. She presents herself well on. She goes on different news programs, not just the liberal programs. And Hillary came out and said she is a Russian plant, that the Russians are grooming her specifically to run as a third-party candidate to damage the Democrat Party so that they give the election to Trump again. She said Jill Stein, who ran as an independent, a Green Party independent the last time, was put there by the Russians to damage her campaign, and that's why she really won. But she lost because of all these shenanigans, because Trump and the Russians, they really are in this conspiracy. Is she losing her mind, Jim?
Oh, no. No, she's not losing her mind. She knows exactly what she's doing. She got traction using the Russian thing. She's going to get back into the election because she knows that's her biggest protection against being indicted, because you can't indict someone with political power. So she knows, because then they're going to throw the whole political angle at it.
So you think she's getting back in?
Oh, she's getting back in.
Why would she do that, though? I mean, because
otherwise she's going to get indicted. As they start losing power, right, the Democrats, the other Democrats in the party, will throw them into the river. In order for them, because it's a power hungry type philosophy.
So she was beat out of the nomination the first time by Barack Obama. She was beat in the election by Donald Trump. She was humiliated by all of this nonsense that came out about what she did. And you think she's going to jump back in and lose to one of these socialists? Or do you think she's going to get the nomination?
What is she going to lose?
Weak. Did you see that Democratic debate? Look how weak they are. They're almost laughable. I mean, there's no way. Even if you were a diehard socialist, there's no way you can vote for any of these people. Some of the comments, some of their positions are just lunatics.
Well, Beto wants to save us from guns. He said that if you don't give up your AR-15, someone's going to come and take it from you. That's going to be a problem, I think, in some places.
He's going to see the wrong end of that AR-15.
But Hillary, you think she'll get back in because you think she has a chance at the nomination? Then, if she declares and she's in,
no, I think they'll protect her from indictment.
For how long?
Until all goes away, until Trump is out of office. Because once Trump is out of office, all the stuff is going away.
Right. No matter who takes over,
he's the only person keeping it still. In the mix with Barr, they'll get rid of Barr, they'll get rid of everybody and make it a whole deep state organization again.
So, Bill, do you see, if Trump gets reelected and he's our president for the next 4 years after, you know, obviously this next election cycle, he's our president. When he leaves, do you think the American people will say, okay, we've had a Republican for the last 8 years, let's go get a Democrat to do the right thing? How could you vote for what they're offering, though? I mean, people say to me on the outside, they go, Joe, you're a reasonable guy. Don't you think this guy is crude? Don't you think this guy is irrational? Don't you think this guy says things that are ugly? Yeah, he does. He does all those things. He's also done a great job with the economy. He's done a great job putting our military back together. And what's my alternative? Crazy socialists? Because I don't like that the man says something stupid on the Twitter, or he says something crude to somebody? My choice is I'll just give up my country and choose socialism? That's not an option, and that's what a lot of people are not getting. They're trying to push people away from him to separate him from his base. And the base realizes, what's the option? There's no great Democrat that's going to do the right thing and make... They're going to destroy the economy. They're going to destroy our rights. They're going to go after our churches. They're going to go after everything we believe in. So it doesn't matter who they put up. We can't go that direction. There is no other choice for us.
Oh, you know what? Getting Trump elected is job one. That's the first thing that has to be done. And then it depends over those next 4 years how he does things. You know, he's so far, like you said, Joe, he's done an amazing job with our economy, with our military, with building the wall. Look, the wall's getting built. But the only thing, he's fighting against the people that are, you know, that have agreed once before about the immigrants being a big problem. Even Hillary Clinton said at one time that they were a big problem. And there was something I saw just the other day with Hillary and Trump together, and she was saying that he is such an honest guy,
right,
and he would make a great president, and all this other stuff. And I'm saying, where is that coming from? This is the same person that is trying to vilify this president, you know. So politics you have to be partially insane to want to be in politics these days, because you know you never know who your enemy is, you never know what the truth is, and the only way that you can really get anything done is by doing it under the table.
Right, so you got to make deals.
You got to make deals. Yeah.
Right. Now, there's nothing wrong with making deals because that's, you know, that's the government was set up initially so that you didn't have all the power vested in one particular area. So I kind of get that. But we used to all row in the same direction, didn't we? We all used to understand America meant this, ABC. This is America. And we're all going down the road together there. We just have different ways to get there. Now, we're in two completely different directions. That's the biggest problem. It's a schism. Mm. And I think seeing this coup d'etat has to be the biggest insight for all of us in how this has... You said it before, Billy, that the government is out of control. Jim, you don't trust them because there's no real anymore. There is whatever is expedient for power. And that's at our loss.
How many times have I said that our country has lost its moral compass? We don't know what our politicians, our leaders, believe what is right and wrong. We don't understand their methods. We don't understand why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? We have no clue. We've got to get back to a moral society that distinguishes between right and wrong, good and evil.
All right, well, let me ask you, Jim. Whose determination of right and wrong? Whose determination of good and evil? Who's going to decide that?
It all has to be rooted in a baseline. And that baseline is in our country, is a Judeo-Christian ethic. We can expand that because most of the major religions in this world have a similar baseline. But it was a lot more simpler way back then. Now, the destroying religion is the first thing you can see that the deep state wants. They want our institutions gone, and they want religion gone, and the most important thing to them is the destruction of Christianity, because really Christianity is what this country was built upon, which is very inclusive. Anybody come here, here's our basic tenets, our basic values, rooted in the Ten Commandments. That is universal. It's not Christian.
But you're right, and they've told us that, didn't they? Didn't Barack Obama say these people are clinging to their God and their guns? And he said it with such contempt that if we could just get rid of these people thinking they should be defending themselves and they should get rid of this God thing, be a much more pliable group of people, wouldn't they?
Well, they're doing that. How many places have they taken the Ten Commandments that have been up on the wall of one courthouse or one government building after another, right up on the wall, and they're forcing people to take them down?
Well, they're offensive to some people because not everyone believes in God.
Why are they offensive?
Because what if they wanted to have? I believe in devil worship. I want that up on the wall.
Because it's the truth. That's the truth.
Well, I don't think you meant to say that. But that's what's been happening. Now you're seeing these statues to the devil now being pushed into some of our public arenas or public buildings. And I'm like, what's happening here?
Right.
And it is getting, they're trying to get Christianity out of the way, because now as soon as you do that, that foundation is gone.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I say. That's the God and clinging to God and guns. We get rid of that, you're a much more pliable group. Which is going to lead me to our next topic here. And I'm glad Bill is here, because Bill is really a man of faith, and he really does live it, and he gives us a lot of guidance. You know, before we go on the air, we sit down and we have a little prayer meeting, and we pray that Jim doesn't say anything ridiculous, and we pray that, you know, that Jack doesn't smack him, and I pray that, you know, I don't say anything I shouldn't say. And Bill gives us all absolution from our silly thoughts. But, Bill, what is the place of God in politics? Now, and that's not church and state separation argument. What is the, where is God to come to our rescue here?
All right. The first thing that we've got to realize is that the Christian vision of government is that the state is not divine. They don't have the ultimate say-so. In fact, the whole idea of a limited state is really connected to the Christian tradition. Why? Because Christianity takes away for lack of a better word, the sacredness of the state. The state no longer has a sacred type of character. Now, there was a British politician, Lord Acton, and he was a historian. He pointed out, when Jesus said, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's," those words at that time, they were revolutionary. They also have profound implications of how we understand the state. Not everything belonged to Caesar. Lord Acton also wrote, he said, "The vice of the classic state was that it was both church and state in one. Morality was undistinguished from religion and politics from morals. And in religion, morality, and politics, there was only one legislator and one authority. There was no moral appeal beyond the state." Why? Because leaders like Caesar and Pharaoh, they were divine. There was no contest. They couldn't be disputed in any decision that they made. But along comes Christianity, we say, wait a minute, that's not true. That's a no-no. The state and its leaders are not divine. And while they do, they deserve respect. They do not stand above natural or divine law. Christianity reminds us that the state's leaders are sinners, just like the rest of us. Now, that doesn't mean that Christians view the state and politics as evil or even a necessary evil. Contrary to something that James Madison had said, even angels would need some form of government even if it were only for coordination and I don't know, to decide which side of the angelic road to drive on or something as dumb as that.
Along that line, people even say that in heaven there's a big gate around it and you don't just walk in. You have to go and do it the right way. You know, there's rules to get into heaven. You don't just walk in.
Exactly. So for Christianity, politics plays an important role, but it's a limited role. Christians view the state as important for things like coordination, administration of justice and security, for defense of the common man. But the state is not the source of truth and law. Now, to be clear, this does not mean that Christians throughout the ages have always respected this either. There have been times when Christians and Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, they've all politicized religion and abused political power in the name of religion. The state is not the final say-so.
Okay, and we're going to hold it right there for a second, Bill. That's excellent. We're going to pick this up in round three because I think this God in politics is important to understand where we stand as a people. Because, Jim, you're right. We were based on the Judeo-Christian underpinnings, yep. And here we are. We're losing all of that, and we can see what's happening to the country. We'll be right back.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good taste in gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut. Not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here in round three. And we're going to keep this going, this question, what is the purpose and the position or the place of God in politics? And Jim, you were just saying what?
Well, I agreed with everything Bill said. America was built on the premise that there's a natural law and that the state did not make the laws exclusively. They had to be built upon a natural law, which comes from God. And without that premise, law breaks down. In a communist and socialist society, the state becomes the ruler, and that state becomes divine. Right. That's the reason why they get rid of Christianity.
And that's what they're looking to do here with our socialist friends. Mm-hmm. They want to get rid of that same thing so that the state becomes divine. The state will be your salvation. The state will give you what you need. Everything will be free. And all you have to do is give complete and total allegiance to
and
the state.
And tell you what the moral code is.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden our foundation moral code gets dispensed with, and so they make a new moral code, which is out of control. It's based on what the power people want.
Well, aren't we seeing that now, where yes. traditional roles of men and women are changing? Because the traditional roles are based on religious practices. Now they're saying, no, there's 52 different kinds of people, and everybody can be whatever they want. And if you don't agree with that, it's because you're a hater and you're a religious guy. So we got to, you see, that's why we have to do away with this religious nonsense, because you're not accepting everything that's out there that's real. This religion is putting a cloak over your eyes that you're not seeing the truth that the state sees. And that's where we're going to see more and more deviation from our traditions. Now, does that mean we did not have to learn to grow? We didn't have to change, you know, what we believed in the beginning? As we find evidence for a need to change, we do change here in America. We are much more tolerant and accepting than ever before than any other country I know of. And it's going to continue to the point of very strange things, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening. It's continued to the point where I read today, they had this woman who was a transgender, a man, excuse me, but running races, cycling races, and continually winning.
A biological man who identifies as a woman and he's winning
exactly.
all the races.
Exactly. Well, how is that fair to all the women within that sport? Because the biological man is just made up differently physically. So it's not fair. But in the socialist world, you can't distinguish between the two.
Now, is that in the socialist world, or is that as a tool to break down the society?
It could be either one, Joe.
I think it's a tool to break down the society. Now, I don't know. There's a guy who thinks he's a woman thinks he's a man. I don't know. That's what they really believe. Who am I to say? I'm not
but
in that position.
Should they be allowed to race when they have an unfair advantage, physical advantage? Should they? Sure, they can do whatever they want. I'm a libertarian. But should they be allowed in a race that's exclusively for females?
Right. And here's the new rules of the game, though. If the guy identifies as a woman, he is a woman, and therefore, how do you keep him out of the female racing? Because he is a woman.
Exactly.
And I think this comes down to, and this is a much bigger argument, and I'm trying to be tolerant of people who believe what they believe. You know, like you said, a libertarian in that area. If it doesn't affect me, I'm not worried about it. People can live their lives. But we saw that there was a company that makes feminine hygiene products. They were attacked by a transgender group that came forward and said, you have to take the symbol of the woman off the package. Because there are a lot of women who identify as men who have periods too. So therefore, you shouldn't have that woman symbol on your package, because that's not representing everyone who needs their products. And the company, they looked at it and they said, okay, we don't want to lose sales, so we're going to take that off. And what happened? A feminist group came out and started screaming at them, how could you do that? You're saying that female biology doesn't exist anymore. We're not important. So now you got all these disparate groups fighting each other over the same kind of thing.
Isn't that what their goal is? To divide us.
Yes.
They're making us fight each other. And when I say they, I don't know what it is. A grand conspiracy? I don't know. But it seems to me that the more we go down this road, the more we fight each other, the more we hate each other, there's something wrong with it.
And a perfect example of that is just what we've been doing right here. We started talking about God and politics, and now we got on to a totally other topic. This is how the left and those that oppose us are dividing this country. They get us distracted on about other things. You know, the founding fathers, they drafted the laws of this country, which pretty much followed this moral compass that I've been talking about. And how else can we get back to where we are supposed to be? You know, like I said, the state's not the final say-so when it comes to justice. The state's bound by the same moral laws as individuals. Christianity rebukes, I'm going to say it again, Christianity rebukes the idea that the dictator of the majority determines the or equals truth and justice. That's ridiculous. Some things are basically wrong, and we know the difference between right and wrong. And no state power or majority vote can make this not so. Why?
Bill, let me offer this.
Go ahead.
Now, that's a traditional view of America. And when you had most of us in the boat rowing the same direction, we all agreed. These are our basic tenets of who we are. Right now, we are split 50-50. People who do not believe a word of what you just said at all. And they are citizens of the United States. They vote. They're 50% of our fellow Americans who take all of that and they say, we're done with that. That's over now. So we keep saying, how do we go back to this traditional America? Well, I don't know, how do you tell that half the country who believes none of this that, you know, you should give up your new modern belief and you should go back to a traditional belief?
Well, because that's what America is. And I hate to say, America is what it was founded upon. That is what America is. It's clear. That's what it was.
Jim, isn't America made up of the people? Isn't that who America is?
No. It is made up of the people, built upon a foundation that's enshrined in the Constitution. And that and the Federalist Papers and all that, and that enshrinement, it says this is what we are. This is our value system. This is our morality. It's all about liberty. But you can't take away that natural law reigns above the government. Go ahead.
Let me say, with this natural law, because of this, human law must always be subordinate to divine law and natural laws.
That's right. And when I say natural law, that's what I mean.
St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, these are people that we know, and a bunch of other majority of Christians have always held that an unjust law is no law at all. You believe in that?
Absolutely.
An unjust law is no law at all. Okay. Central to the Jewish and Christian idea of justice is that justice must be, what, impartial. How else can we do, can we create a just system? This idea is found throughout the Bible and the New Testament. And I'm going to just say this one last thing. Leviticus 19:15 says, you shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor.
Right. That is the traditional form of what we believe America should be.
How can someone disagree with that, though?
Because
justice should be impartial.
I'm taking the devil's advocate point. I can look at that and say justice should be impartial, but you have a point of view that is unfair to some people in this country who don't believe we should not have to have the prayers in the courtroom. We shouldn't have to have the Ten Commandments because that's offensive to some people. I don't want it there. It doesn't make me feel like I'm getting justice.
That shall not
if those
kill.
Ten Commandments
that's offensive. Thou shalt not steal. That's offensive?
Well, because it comes from the source is supposed to be a god, which they believe doesn't
exist. Thou shalt not
swear
false witness
saying,
against thy neighbor.
But
that's
instead
offensive.
Of saying thou shalt mm-hmm. not kill, it's wrong to kill. So however we word it, the meaning is the same.
Right. I can't think you could imagine you would get people together and say murder is good. But to say you shall not murder, because that's what God said. That's where, and I'm just taking devil's advocate. I'm not saying where Lieutenant Joe stands. The point is that when we, and the reason I asked you, Jim, isn't the country the people? If we have 51-49 and the 51 is traditional America, we're going to keep all of these things. We're going to have chaos in the streets like we're seeing because the 49 is trying to change America, but the 51 is hanging on. When it switches the other way and it's 51-49 their beliefs, they just change the laws. They put in the judges, you see today, and I said it before, you'll get a judge that will look at a complete case that we can all see, absolutely, this is exactly how it went, and the judge will say, yeah, but that doesn't further the good of the American people, so therefore they find things in the law that doesn't exist. They find constitutional rights in the Constitution that do not exist. We've suffered with it all along. And now they say, you know what? Maybe we should get rid of this
Then we college. Have tyranny, Joe.
Well,
and that's what it boils down to. When it comes to that point, and this is how close we are, you've mentioned it before, when it comes to that point, we are one step away from tyranny, and that scares me.
Right.
And not only that, but that judge that you were just talking about knows in his heart that that's wrong. He knows, but he has to follow the court. He has to follow the laws
they don't.
Of the state.
What happens at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California? Why does every liberal cause go there? Why do they try and find any way they can get it into that court? Because they know they are very liberal justices who will say, I could care less about precedent. I could care less what the Constitution says. I'm going to say, we're going to do that because that furthers what I think we should do.
Yeah. I think there's some of that, but I also think that there's a lot of people out there who go because you're protected. You're in the liberal class. You are protected. You're protected from justice. You are elite. And so the same laws don't apply to those people as not only that, like Hollywood. You get the preferential jobs. You get treated much better, the preferential whatever. Things get thrown at you because you're following a system. Is there a conspiracy here? I don't know, okay. But it seems to me.
So that's a good point. You brought up this point about where is all of this coming from? Where does all of this come from? I think we have reached a point, and I say this is the crossroad. We are at the crossroad because every election we say, this is the most important election. But every single time, it gets closer to being the most important before it switches over 51-49 the other way. Once we reach that point, things will be very difficult. We will be put in a position as a nation to make the decisions that our forefathers made. Do we allow this to continue, or do we now take to the streets and demand change? Do we now put our lives, our honor, our fortune, and our lives
to protect before us? We get into a severe degree,
right?
First, we do it as nonviolent
patriots.
You know, and you want to know something? Why not protest in the streets, just like our liberal brethren do for every liberal. When is that going to happen where the conservatives...
There are people that are doing that. People that go face-to-face with anarchy and face-to-face with abortion rights advocates, face-to-face with...
It's certainly not on a large scale, Bill, like the
No,
left.
You're right.
The
it's
left,
not.
They march... They demand, they scream and holler.
That's because we work.
I have
this
a script.
Sounds terrible. That's because we work. And most of those anarchists, they don't have jobs.
Right.
How can you? In the middle of the day on Tuesday?
You're being funded by...
Right. So it's interesting. My point being, as I look at this and I say, okay, so there comes a time and a place, and I never thought it would be our lives, our generation, where this would happen. America has really... changed transformationally, as Obama said he wanted to do with his election. When I looked at the bigger picture, I was very, very, I don't want to say pleased when he was elected, but it was good as an American to say an African-American guy got to go and be the president of the United States.
I totally agree. At least this will be behind us.
Well, not even that it was behind us. It's just that what a leap for people who used to be slaves in our country.
I agree.
Now they lead the country. That's a good thing for America. Mm. I wished he was a conservative. Then at least I wouldn't disagree with everything he did.
Well, at least
then.
A libertarian.
So part of me was so rooting for my country that when he was elected, even though I didn't believe in anything he wanted to do, part of me said, I am so happy that America did that because it took us to a new place. Where is the next group going to go? Because the next group doesn't want to take us. They want to take us to a place that's not America. That's the concern.
You know, I believe that Barack Obama's ancestors were truly conservatives.
How do you know? How would you know?
I don't know. But I truly believe if he was born of his ancestors were slaves and stuff... Can you think of a slave being deprived of all of his personal rights and everything would believe in anything other than a conservative agenda?
No, as a matter of fact, I like these shows, these new historical shows, documentaries, that actually show that the people who fought for this country, fought for what was right, some of them were slaves. Yeah. Look at that. Just imagine. This same system that put you down and enslaved you, there was a value that they saw in that system because it was a system that... It was broken in that one remark, but it still was a system built on the rights of man, the natural rights of all mankind,
right.
Even though that was a big mistake.
And the country had to catch up to what was correct, and slavery was an abomination.
They rationalized it.
A lot of people did. Because that was the time. But once we realized how wrong it was, we changed it.
Well, you all rationalized.
We said it had to stop. You had a transformational person in the form of Abraham Lincoln, who took that on and changed our country. Just like Barack Obama now has tried to change us and move us towards socialism, which he's been, both were successful in their goals.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we remember when Barack Obama was first elected and Rush Limbaugh said, I hope he fails. Now, they didn't mean he hopes the country fails. He hoped his policies, his left-wing policies failed. But we saw how, you know, the media attacked that. So, fellas, we've been around and around the horn here tonight. I think we covered it all. Bill, you gave us some insight. That was excellent stuff. I do look to see, you know, there's, in all the times we've had controversy in our country, there's always been, America has always come through. Even when I was looking down saying, there's no way this is going to happen. I remember going to bed on the night of the 2016 election going, well, I guess we're going to get Hillary Clinton. I can't believe this. But I guess that's the way it is. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I had the radio on and they were just announcing at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Donald Trump actually won the presidency. And I was like, America came through again at the last moment. You know, America came through and we did the right thing. We didn't
pick her. There will be a person. This is a divine nation. I believe this is a divine nation. God is not going to let it go.
And that was my point.
I like that.
That was my point. Where is God in politics? When does he ride in on that great white horse and save us from ourselves? Ladies and gentlemen, I think if we all say a nice prayer, we ask God to help us out, I think we'll be okay going towards the future. This was a great conversation, fellas. I'm glad you're back here in the neighborhood. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you again soon here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Amen.
Amen from Bill.
Amen.